Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We thank you for that gift of Jesus Christ that you've given us. And we thank you for your precious word through him. And we love the word, Lord, and it shows us the path of life and the righteousness of the way we're supposed to walk. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us about condemnation too, Lord. And let that be a good teaching today and to help folks. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's what I want to talk today about is condemnation. Heard a lot of people having trouble with that. And so I thought I'd just review some of the things we've talked about in the past. As you know, there's only one way to the benefits of Christ, and it's by faith. But too many people want to take another route. They want to be justified by something that they do. And they want to be justified by their works in order to have the benefits of Christ. And I'm telling you, it's a lying deception of the devil. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What's the condition? It's believing. And of course, the condition that Jesus mentioned almost every time was faith. Faith is what gives us the power of God unto salvation. And the Greek word for salvation is soteria. And the verb of that is sozo, which is translated as God saving us through deliverance, salvation, preservation, healing, provisions, and on. Sozo is used to mean salvation through all of those ways. Now, we're told in this text here that Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto all of that provision of God to everyone that believes." So the condition for us to partake of the benefits of God is, first of all, what? Faith. The devil tries to sidetrack us from that faith because we are justified by our faith. We're not justified by our works. But people try to earn the benefits of the kingdom, or they try to condemn people into working for the benefits of the kingdom. None of that's going to work. A lot of people have been hurt and separated from Christ through such things. Now the text goes on and says in verse 17, "For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." Our life comes from faith. The benefits that we receive that come through the grace of God all come from faith. We are to grow from what? Faith to faith. "Because thy righteous shall live from faith." The word says our benefits of the kingdom come in that way. Romans chapter 5 and 1 verse 1 says, "Being therefore justified by faith." That means accounted righteous by faith. Too many people are attempting to circumvent this by accounting that their righteousness comes through something that they believe or something that they do, and they think they're going to receive the benefits of God because they believe this certain thing, or they do this certain thing. But I'm telling you, it's really just faith in the promises of God that justifies us or accounts us as righteous. In order to have the benefits of God, you have to be accounted righteous first. So after repentance, the very first thing that we need is faith. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. "Now after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God," verse 15, "and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel." And so it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's only because we believe. Just because we believe, we are accounted righteous, justified, and we have peace with God. even before we're fully obedient, even before we're walking in perfection, we have peace with God. Glory to God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, our access to the grace of God, which is God's favor, to provide for us all these benefits that we've been learning about, comes through grace. It all comes through God's favor, and God's favor comes through faith. We have our access into this grace through our faith, and ain't nothing else going to give that to us but faith. Well, somewhere along the line, most all of us have probably been caught up in seeking to be justified by doctrine. You know, denominations seem to work that way. They teach that you are justified because of something you believe or something that you do that everybody else don't do. And that's a silly trap. And it's a silly trap of the devil to keep you from believing the benefits of God. You can't grow in that way. What you've been done, you've basically been separated from the body of Christ. Galatians 5 and 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul said a sect or a division or a strife is a work of the flesh. You've been divided away from the people of God because you're self-righteous about something that you do. But, of course, the other denominations have something that they do and you don't. And so it just depends on what denomination you're in or what non-denominational denomination you're in concerning the foolishness with which the devil has deceived you, right? Because our access is through faith. Well, what's faith? Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. So faith is believing you have something on the grounds that God says you got it. Not because you see it. He's telling you to believe you have received it before you even see it. That's what faith is. And we're accounted righteous because we believe something solely on the grounds that God said so. And of course, that faith gives us access to grace. What's grace? Grace is God fulfilling that benefit or that promise to you by His power, since you have no way to do it yourself. And as a matter of fact, this gift of faith totally negates any way that you would use to get that benefit or promise, because faith is believing you've already received it. Therefore, you can't go out and get it. You can't use your methods to get it. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James Version says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, since faith is the substance of things hoped for, while there's no evidence seen, you're merely claiming this gift on the ground that it's already been given to you. For instance, if by His stripes, by whose stripes you were healed, what can you do to get it? If you try to go get it by your own methods, by your money, by your intelligence, or whatever, you prove that you don't believe the verse because God said it's already yours. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were, past 10, healed. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. And as we've seen, salvation in all forms, it's already been provided. And all we have to do is believe and rest, as it says in Hebrews 4, and let God bring the manifestation. You know, God is a miraculous God. And you who are entering into this rest know His provision is everywhere. You can't go into the deepest wilderness without receiving His provision, even if it comes out of the sky, even if it comes out of a rock, even if it comes out of a fish's mouth. You can't get away from God's provision if, that's the big if, you will accept it by faith. But if you attempt to get God's grace in any other way, you're going to fail. And if you'll notice, the verse reads, we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And that's the way grace comes. And you can't talk God out of it, because that's His method. A lot of people want to make rules and they want to make regulations, which they say you have to keep in order for you to be justified. They want you to keep a part of the law, or they want you to keep a part of man's law, or they want you to do something in order to be justified before God, so that God can answer your prayers. Folks, justification is not by works of the law, or works of man, or special beliefs that you might have. Justification don't come that way. Justification comes only through faith in the promises of God. Faith. And faith is believing that you've received something that you haven't yet manifestly received. Paul makes it pretty plain. He says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. And of course, if Abraham had been trying to be justified by his works, and his works failing, then he would have been condemned. A lot of people do that. They trust in themselves. They trust in their own works to save them. And they fall under condemnation when those works fail. Well, as you know, there are ministers, and doctrines that attempt to get people to change through the method of condemnation. Excuse me. Their method is to condemn you into doing something in order to be justified by God, so He can give you a benefit. But folks, there's only one way to obtain grace, and that's through faith. And faith is the opposite of condemnation. And one of the most common things that we see is where preachers will command their groups to stay away from doctors and medicine so that they will receive healing from God. But that's getting the cart before the horse. You're attempting to get God to do something for you by your works. The faith, folks, has to come first. If your works come first, that ain't faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. You see, there are your works, and there are God's works. God's works come on the other end of faith and grace, and your works come before faith and grace. When it's your works, you're attempting to be accepted by God and to receive some benefit from God by something that you do. So when you hear a legalistic command like that, just remember one thing. That's coming from the enemy. That's coming from the devil. He wants to supplant the real method of God in your life. He wants to supplant the only method that works. Because faith gives grace, and grace gives the benefit. And there's apostate preachers are saying, no, if you do this, God's going to do this. In other words, you're buying the benefits of God as if He didn't pay a big enough price when He sacrificed Jesus Christ. And that don't make any sense. Then there are other apostate leaders out there who want to put you under the works of the law, for you to be justified. In other words, they tell you that you have to keep the feast, you have to keep the Sabbath, you have to abstain from certain meats, you got to pay tithes, of course, and then they go on and on and on. And they tell you that you're not justified unless you do these things. Folks, these are deceivers, every one of them. They want to obtain the benefits of God by receiving justification through the works of law. But it don't matter whether it's the works of the law or the commands of men. It makes no difference because it's the same lie. The truth is you're only justified by faith. And if you're not justified, you ain't getting the benefit. In fact, Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. In other words, you're believing the truth, you're believing the word of God. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. We definitely always want to prevail when we come into judgment, don't we? We want God's salvation there. Whatever that need might be, if we need health, or if we need deliverance, or if we need a provision, all of it comes because of God's grace. And all of that grace comes because of His faith, which He puts into us. And so He tells you here that you can prevail when you come into judgment, if you just agree with God's word and just believe what God said. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. It says, let every man be a liar, and let God be true. Romans 4, 2 and 3 says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. For what saith the Scripture? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. That's it, folks. Believe God. And it's not as if you're able to save yourself. And it's not as if you're able to do the works of God. Remember, there's two different kinds of works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. That's talking about your works. That no man should glory. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's God's works. The good works are God's works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. You see, faith gives you grace, and grace gives you God's works. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that's one way His grace is manifested in us. He works in us to will and to do. You see, it's God's works. Salvation is God's works. And what causes God to do that in us? Faith, bringing grace, causes God to do that in us. Ain't none of your works is going to cause Him to do it. You can't buy God off with any of your works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, it said. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. And again, these are God's works. When you abide in Him and you walk as He walked, that means His works are moving through you. So basically, salvation is God putting His will in us. You know, you don't have any problems when your will is the will of God because you get everything you want. God does everything He wants to do, doesn't He? And our problem is that we have a will contrary to God. So there's a war, but God puts His will in us and He gives us the capability to bring His will to pass. He works in us to will and to do, or to work, you see. That's God working in us. And it's not our works at all. So we're not justified by our works any more than Abraham were. We're justified by faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 4 says, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as a grace, but as a debt. And that's talking about somebody who has to go do something in order to please God so that God can give them their benefit. Verse 4, now to him that works, the reward, or the answer to your need, is not reckoned as a grace, but as a debt. In other words, you're going around grace, or you think you're going around grace. You really can't go around grace, because without God's favor, you're only what you are, and you can't do anything more than what you are. You do what you are, but God's grace enables us to do what he is and not what we are. And because of our own nature, God has to reach in from the outside and change us from the outside. And what causes him to do that? It's our faith. Your faith brings his favor to do that. The reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. God's not going to be our debtor. And we're not going to be able to buy him off. It don't make any difference what we do. No matter what we believe, no matter what kind of law we go back under. The law was righteousness through works, justification through works. God rejected that. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for through the law cometh the knowledge of sin. And so we see by the works of the law shall no man be justified. Then chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Praise be to God. That's the hope. That's the good news right there. To him that works not. In other words, we don't have to be something that we're not. We can just rest in God, and his grace is going to bring us the manifestation and make us something that we're not. His grace will bring Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Jesus has made reconciliation. He has exchanged his life for my life. What do I have to do to be like Jesus? Well, all I got to do is look in the mirror and see him by faith. And all I have to do is accept by faith that this person I'm looking at is now Jesus living in me. That I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And by faith, you're accepting the sacrifice of Jesus. And who's going to bring, and who's going to bring that to pass? God's going to bring that to pass by his grace, because you've given him the faith. And what is faith? It's the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're giving God a substance that he will use to make into the answer to your need. And that substance is faith. And because you were chosen by him, even before you knew him, he gave you the grace to receive the very first faith from which you continue to receive grace. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. This is grace to do and be whatever you need to be, because we know he has saved us. And as a Christian, if you need faith, ask him for it. Because salvation in all forms is not by your works, but by his works in you. Romans 4:6. Even as David also pronounced blessings upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Praise be to God for that blessing. Glory be to God. Well, let's take a look at a man that was having that problem. Paul, the apostle, was feeling condemned because of his works. And since he was condemned, he didn't have no faith. And since he had no faith, he had no grace. And folks, that's a terrible rut you'll be in until you lay hold on faith. He says in chapter 7 and verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. In other words, because of his very nature, He wasn't able to partake of the benefit of God. He was not capable of partaking of the benefit of God. He was telling us his problem here. And he comes to the solution a little bit further down. Verse 15, "For that which I do, I know not. For not what I would, that do I practice. But what I hate, that I do." Well, just simply put, Paul was saying, I'm doing what I don't want to do, and I don't know how to be saved from this circumstance. He hated his sin, but he was in it, and it was overcoming him. And he wasn't getting any grace from God because he was feeling condemned. You know why? It's because when you're feeling condemned, what you're saying is, I could do better and I'm not. Well, think about it. When you're under condemnation, you're thinking right now, I could do better, or I should have done better, and I'm not. Well, you're reckoning that you are capable of pleasing God, and really it's only God who's capable of pleasing God. His nature is the only thing that pleases him. Our nature don't please him. When you have condemnation, you don't feel justified by faith, and that's the problem. If you're justified by faith, you don't have condemnation. Condemnation only has one particular good use. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries." Condemnation comes from willful disobedience. And Paul, what Paul was saying was that the good that I would do, I do not. The good that I will to do, I do not. And the evil which I will not to do, that I am doing. You see, his will was totally set against his sin. So it wasn't a willful disobedience, but he hadn't figured out the key to receiving the power from God to overcome. What's the key? Key is faith. It's not justification by works. And Paul was proving that he was trying to be justified by works because of the condemnation he was feeling. He was proving that he was under the law, which wasn't justification by works. But in the New Testament, we have no access to God or his benefits in that way. And so the Judaizers, who want to bring you back under the law, and the legalists who want to bring you under their church laws, or their doctrines, are all separating you from Christ and from the benefits of God. There's no way for you to be any better than you are. You do what you are because it's your nature. And we need the nature of God to be given to us through grace, and we don't get grace except by faith. Paul needed to know that he was justified by faith because he was condemning himself, proving that he thought he was justified by works. Romans chapter 7 and verse 16 says, "But if what I would not that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good." He was saying, what he was saying was, the law's good and I'm bad. But the New Testament teaches us that we're not bad anymore. Chapter 6 and verse 11, "Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus." God made an exchange for your life for his life. And you don't live anymore because Christ now lives in you. See, as long as you're going to call yourself a sinner saved by grace, you're going to be a sinner. And the truth is, that old sinner's dead. That's what Paul's commanded us to believe in Romans chapter 6. The old man is dead, and now Jesus lives in me. And now watch how your faith causes God to give you grace to bring it to pass. Something you could never, ever do, God's going to do. He'll do it for you as a gift. He will give it to you as a gift, folks. Ain't no way you could work your way to it. Never. If you were here a million years, you would never get it. But God will give it to you as a gift. He's not going to allow you to reach it any other way because he's not going to be your debtor. Romans 7:17. So now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. He's saying, since my will is against it, that proves that there are two entities here. My will is against it, but my flesh is doing it. He says, now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. We are schizophrenic when we desire to serve God, and yet we walk in the flesh. Then verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I practice. In other words, the evil which I desire not to do, or wish not to do, or will not to do, that's what I practice. Verse 20, but if what I would not, that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. Therefore, I, the one who wills not to sin, I am a son of God, I am righteous. That's the spiritual man who wills not to sin. But since Paul was continuing to sin because of his flesh, he said, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwells in me. Paul received the understanding that when he desired to do right, God separated him from the sinful man. God separated the righteous spiritual man from the sinful man of flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You know, the old man has to die here. You're not trying to save the old man, and he can't be saved anyway. It's your spiritual man who's saved, the one who is an eternal son of God. That spiritual man is growing in you as the outer man is decaying. That inner man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. That spiritual inner man is taking the territory. He's the Israelite going in, taking the territory away from the Canaanite, that old man. The spiritual man is conquering the old man with the edge of the sword. He's taking his land, and our old life is his land. And as we walk by faith in God, this is what's happening, because God is doing this in us. God said, I'm going to go before you. You go, you take up your sword, but I'm going to conquer your enemies for you. And I'll give them into your hands. And that's what the Lord's doing. He's giving this old life into the hand of the spiritual man. And his sword, of course, is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Romans 7:21. I find then the law that to me who would do good, evil is present. 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. 23. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. 24. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? And he goes on to say in 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul's crying out here, who's going to deliver me? He's looking for a Savior. And who's that Savior? That's Jesus. That's his job. Praise be to God. He's already done this for us, folks. It's already been accomplished. Paul receives the revelation here that the sacrifice of Jesus already delivered him. And when you read on, you can see that. He says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So faith in this revelation that the Lord has already delivered him out of the body of that death, already delivered him from his bondage to the sinful man, That's what's going to give Paul the grace he needs to walk away from that old man, to walk as Jesus walked. It's like the serpent on a pole in the wilderness. Y'all remember the story? Look at Numbers 21 and verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, and there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a standard, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon the standard. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked into the serpent of the brass, he lived. Well, the solution came when anyone who had been bitten got their eyes off of the bite and onto the serpent on the pole, then they were healed. They got their eyes off the problem and on the solution. They quit looking inward, started looking outward. Well, folks, we've been snake bit. That's the problem. This old man is a serpent. He is the son of a serpent. And we've been snake bit. And the poison of that serpent is in each one of us. And the solution is for us to see that Jesus, who became sin for us, was crucified on that pole, on that cross, and now we're free. We died with him. We were delivered. We were healed. We were provided for, because all the things that are included in salvation were given to us at the cross. So we got to get our eyes off the problem and on the solution. What does condemnation do? Condemnation gets your eyes on yourself, and it separates you from God. Let me say that again. Condemnation gets your eyes on yourself, and it separates you from God. And as I mentioned, condemnation does have one good use, and that's when you're in willful disobedience. But when you're like Paul, and you're not in willful disobedience, when you desire the power of God, and you just don't know the way to reach it, then condemnation is detrimental to your life, because it separates you from Christ. It separates you from faith, too. Condemnation tells you you should have done better. And it's the opposite of that. Look at Jesus. He's already done it for you. And as a matter of fact, Paul goes on to say in Romans 8 and 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Using condemnation to force a person to change is called legalism and is doomed to failure. And if you are under condemnation, you're going to receive no power from God to change, because condemnation is the opposite of faith. Faith gives grace, and grace gives the benefit. But again, if you're under condemnation, it's either because you feel justified by works or you feel not justified by works. You've got a wrong relationship with God. Instead of a relationship of faith, it's a relationship of self-works. Paul continues on in Romans 8 and 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death." What put Paul in Christ Jesus? Well, the only thing you can see from the text is that Paul believed Jesus was the solution. And of course, that's true. Jesus was the solution, and Jesus is the solution. He's already given us the benefit, Galatians 2 and 16. "Yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And he's saying the same thing over and over there, isn't he? Paul wants this to come across, because this is very important. People are seeking to be justified by various self-works of keeping Sabbaths or paying tithes or keeping the feasts or abstaining from certain meats and on and on and on. One fallacy that's very detrimental and destructive, and that is, well, if I don't go to the doctor, God's going to heal me. If I don't take my medicine, God will heal me. No, you're getting the cart before the horse. That is justification by your works. And what you're saying is God will give you the grace because of your works. But he ain't going to do that. It has to be by faith. Have you already been healed? Of course you have. That's what the Bible says. So if you believe that you've already been healed, that's faith. And what do you receive for that grace? And what does the grace do? It causes you to walk in the benefits. And if you want to walk in the benefit, the graceful ability to do that has to come from God. Now remember, there are two kinds of works. There are your works, which come before faith. There are God's works, which are a fruit of faith. God's works in you are what will cause you to walk in perfection before the Lord. James spoke about faith being made perfect through works, James 2:22. Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Well, what works was he talking about? Well, look at Philippians 2 and 13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. James was talking about God's works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. That's talking about your work. That no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. In other words, these works are his works because you are in him. So he says here in Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God who works in you. It's God working in you. And that's, what is that? That's grace. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And that's what we need. That's real salvation right there. All those other things people tell you that you can do in order to receive the benefits of God are just a cheap substitute. That ain't going to work because it has to be by faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law. Well, how do you know if something is a work of the law? Well, you know it's a work of the law because there's no condemnation involved. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. You see, you can't get out from under the curse when you're seeking to be justified by your works. There ain't no way out. You're under the curse of the law. And it don't matter if it's the Old Testament law or man's law or your law. You're under a curse because your works are coming before your faith. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. So, if you want to seek to be justified by anything you do, you have to do everything God wants. And that's the only way you can be justified. And that's not possible. It's not possible because your fallen nature won't permit that. We need God's grace. We need unmerited favor from God to make us into something that we're not. You can only do what you are, and so God has to make you into something else. And only faith brings the grace for that. Galatians 3 and 11. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. And I want you to know that there's only one way to have God's life, and that is to live by faith. And that life is a free gift from God through faith. And he doesn't give that gift to just anybody. He only gives that gift to people who believe. That's the condition, Matthew 9:29. According to your faith be it done unto you. And then Matthew 8:13. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee, as Jesus said. for all of God's benefits, that's the condition. And if a person doesn't believe, they won't receive and will go on in their self-works and die under the curse. You see, the righteous shall live by, or literally from, faith. Galatians 3:12, and the law is not of faith. There is no law that man can put you under to make you righteous, because none of that is faith. Then it goes on to say in Galatians 3:12, but he that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. You see, the Lord put our curse upon Jesus. We're not under the curse of the law. We don't have to obey the law in order to be justified. Now, if we walk by faith, God will give us grace, and and that grace will cause the law to be fulfilled in us. Fulfilling the law is not the same as being under the law. To be under the law is to be under a curse. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of law to do them. The law is the letter, a parable, and only the Spirit fulfills the letter. It's being fulfilled in the Spirit in you who walk by faith in Him. For example, I don't have to worry about tithing, because I give plenty. Because God puts it in my heart to give plenty. In other words, God fulfills it naturally, and I'm not under a rule or a regulation. And this is a totally different relationship with God. That's the one He wants. Verse 19. What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. So the law was only a meantime thing until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. God never wanted the relationship that the law commanded of righteousness by works, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, it says. Some people think that is a superior relationship and that they can go back under the law. But they're separated from Christ, as it says here in chapter 5 and verse 1. For freedom did Christ set us free. Free from what? Free from that relationship. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Most of Galatians 3 and 4 is about that. It's rebuking Christians for following the Judaizers and going back under the law. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, or you could say paying the tithe, or you could say keeping the feast, or abstaining from meals, or whatever, these things are just a type and a shadow of the things to come. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, Hebrews 10 and 1. Paul said they are not the fulfillment. They're not important. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, or again, this could be any other works of the law, or anything that you think you can do to be acceptable by God, to buy His benefit. And if you receive this thing, whatever it is, then Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision or any of those other things, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Ye are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law, meaning by the works of the law, as in Galatians 2 and 16. Ye are fallen away from grace, and you're a debtor to do the whole law, he said. And see, this is real dangerous. You're severed from Christ because you're seeking your own righteousness, and there has to be repentance and return to justification by faith. You are falling away from grace because there's no other way to get to grace except through faith. You have to hold on to faith. Your works can't impress God enough to get Him to give you grace. You can't do that. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. Yes. Then chapter 3 and verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise, but God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. There ain't no other way to receive the inheritance, folks. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Now, what works are these? These are the works that come from faith, not the works that come before faith. Those are your works. And when you believe, God gives grace for you to do his works. Some people want to take the book of James out of their Bible. They do. They insist that it's a false doctrine because they say, no, we're not justified by work. They don't understand that there are two kinds of works. There are God's works, which are the fruit of faith, and there are your works, which ain't acceptable. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith but have not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace and be ye warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. And if God's works don't come from your faith, then your faith is not his faith. There is a mental assent which is not God's faith, and it doesn't believe you have already received. Faith is calling the things that are not as though they were. Faith is believing you have received. People say, I believe, I believe, I believe. But when you ask them if they believe they have received, you find out they don't, because their actions prove that they don't believe they have received. And their words prove that they don't believe they have received. So it's not faith. That kind of faith can bring forth God's works. It's not faith at all. The truth is that it's not faith. And if it's not bringing forth God's works, it ain't faith. Verse 18, yeah, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. You know, people do think that they can show you their works apart from their faith. But the works of God manifested through man only come because of true faith. And that faith comes only by his grace. Ain't nobody can brag. Nobody can brag. Then he goes on to say in verse 19, thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren or unfruitful? True faith will give you the works of Jesus as a free gift. Was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Verse 22, thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Faith is made perfect by works, folks. When you have faith, are you justified before the works? Yeah. In Romans 4, you're justified. You're accounted righteous. You see, when you have faith, even before the works perfect the faith, you are accounted righteous. And when you're accounted righteous, then you're entitled to the benefit that grace brings. So faith brings grace, and grace brings the works of God in your life. People like to turn that around and put the cart before the horse, but God ain't going to accept that. You're separated from Jesus, and you're separated from grace if you do that. What do we need to do for people to enable them to overcome? We need to put faith in them, not condemnation. Well, how do you put faith in them? You speak the word of God and encourage them with the word of God. Romans 10 and 17, King James Version says, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You speak the word of God to them, and you call the things that are not as though they were. And don't attribute their failures to them. Don't attribute their stumblings to them. Help them take their eyes off themselves and get their eyes on the Lord. Help them to see that he already took away that sinful nature and nailed it to the cross. And now they got his nature. And this will cause a person to overcome. And if instead of putting faith in them and letting that faith bring them the grace to change, you put them under condemnation to force them to change. The only thing that you're going to make there is a Pharisee. They'll feel that they're justified and that they're righteous because of something that they've done or something that they believe. We're only righteous because of something God did. We are righteous because we believe in something He already accomplished, not in something that we could do. Faith is the foundation for salvation, but we're going to be judged by our works. Every place in the Bible where Jesus talks about coming back and judging His people, He's judging them for their works. Why? It's because your works are proof of your faith. And if you don't have the works of God, it proves that you have not been walking in the faith of God. So is God judging our faith? Yeah, He's judging our faith by our works. He said, "And I by my works will show thee my faith." And what we need to do above all things is encourage one another. We need to share with one another what the Lord has done and not what we need to do. And if you get your eyes on yourself, you may become withdrawn and feel rejected. But if you get your eyes off yourself and on the Savior, you become somebody who walks by faith. Glory be to God. And you walk by faith in what He has accomplished on that cross. You walk by faith in what He has given to you by bearing your curse. Glory be to God. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, God willing.